In 2017, a clandestine U.S. government program had been investigating UFOs.
The Pentagon has confirmed the existence of the Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program that studied UFOs, and they released video.
There's a whole fleet of them. My gosh.
For 8 years, the secret program was run by this man, Lou Elizondo.
Time and time again, we were coming up with these mystery objects and performing in a way that defies logic.
Frustrated by what he says was a cover-up, Elizondo quit and joined forces with an elite group of former government insiders.
We're going to figure out how to get to the bottom of it.
Now they have one mission: to expose what they say is the truth about UFOs.
It was raining UFOs.
I put my entire career and future on the line because I believe in what I believe in.
Christopher Mellon will join us in just a second. Private equity investor, political commentator, chair of the science committee at the Carnegie Museum of Natural History. Been around Capitol Hill doing amazing things like the past 20 years. Now, Steve Grzanich, feel free to chime in on this because you're the official alien of the show. We know you're not one of us. We know you're from outer space, but we believe you're a friend, not a foe.
Thank you. And I've been watching the series and like it a whole lot. And it's not necessarily about aliens. So I'm interested in the conversation this morning.
Mr. Mellon, good morning.
Good morning.
How do we know you're not from another planet, Mr. Mellon?
Well, you wouldn't be alone in thinking that. We get a lot of speculative theories. This really, unfortunately, was this tendency to think UFOs and automatically connect that with aliens. And we really do underscore that unidentified means unidentified. So,
They're not weather balloons, are they?
No, they're certainly not. They're maneuvering at high speed, and they're absolutely baffling in terms of the technology. We don't understand how they maintain lift. We don't understand the propulsion. We don't understand how they maneuver. It's a real head-scratcher for our aerospace engineers.
How long has this been going on in regards to the flood of UFOs that previously were not admitted by the government?
There was what happened was when we upgraded some of our fighter aircraft to these new, vastly more powerful radars, we began to have a far greater number of incidents. So we don't know how long this has been going on. It seems to be a case in which it was probably going on more extensively for a longer period. And beginning in 2015 is when we really started having this surge of encounters and reports.
The technology that we believe we see when pilots have witnessed what they've witnessed, no chance another country has this that we don't?
It is a possibility. We're keeping, maintaining an open mind, and I say we, not just my colleagues on the unidentified who are investigating this phenomenon, who include a former senior Boeing Skunk Works aerospace engineer, but DOD and the Defense Department and the intelligence community itself. We maintain good relationships with lots of folks in the community, and it's really baffling to all concerned, and I think people need to keep an open mind, and what we really need is more data to bring this picture into focus.
Steve?
Mr. Mellon, thank you for being on this morning. I've been watching the program, as I mentioned, and I think it's really well done. The notion that perhaps this is something other than aliens, I think, is important. In the last episode, you talked about why that's important, and it's actually showing a little bit of promise because you've been able to meet behind closed doors with lawmakers on this. What can you tell us about those meetings, and what are lawmakers concerned about?
Yeah, thanks for asking that. They're playing a crucial role, even though at this point they're trying to stay out of the press and the limelight. They are taking the information on board. They have been meeting with some of the pilots and been making inquiries to the Pentagon, which is establishing a level of accountability in the Pentagon, which is ultimately helping the combat pilots and the frontline personnel. So they're playing a vital role, but they're still concerned about the stigma. And so they don't want to hold open public hearings, or they're not giving, releasing much in the way of press statements. But this does represent very serious progress, and their involvement is critical to helping to get the Pentagon bureaucracy moving.
I personally come from a set of beliefs. I grew up in the 70s, and was a kid during the space program and all the magic of that. And knowing what we know about our small corner of the universe, I think it's incredibly egotistical or narrow-minded to believe that we're the only ones out there. Having said that, if there are others with more advanced technology than us and they keep visiting, why don't they make themselves known? Is there anyone that has a theory on that?
Yeah, there are some theories on that. So let me step back for a moment and just point out that if another race arose in our galaxy, say after 10.5 billion years of evolution in a 14 billion year old universe, even if they were not able to travel faster than the speed of light, they could have crisscrossed our galaxy hundreds of times already. So there is no theoretical reason why there could not be alien probes, for example, artificially intelligent devices that have reached our planet. In theory, that's entirely feasible, even within our present understanding of physics. So we do try to keep an open mind on all of those topics. One theory as to why unfortunately, the theories get a little bit dark when you start asking why they're so elusive and not showing themselves. It could be, if they are indeed from off-planet, that, they're merely observing. Some people say, well, do you talk to the animals when you go to the zoo? Why would they want to interact with us? Maybe they're so much more highly advanced, they don't see any point in conversation. Or maybe they have some agenda, and they're doing some reconnaissance, and, perhaps not with our best interests in mind. But this all gets highly, highly speculative and can actually impede efforts towards progress when we start talking too much about these more esoteric theories instead of really pushing hard on the data.
Is there a push now in government because of the reveal that's gone on to try to get to the bottom of this, and how much should we be doing?
Well, I'm happy to report that actually there are new efforts being made, and there is some momentum building. It's astonishing to me, and we talk about this on the show, it seems almost inconceivable, yet it's true, that we've had intelligently controlled aircraft violating restricted military airspace for years, and absolutely nothing was done about it. The Secretary of Defense was not informed. The Congress was not informed. The intelligence community was not reporting on this. And the base commanders simply resorted to issuing flight warning statements for the aviators on the base, saying beware of potential mid-air collisions up there. And so the system was absolutely paralyzed. And it's with all of the understandable concern over what's going on at the southern border, you would think that we in America today, if the Russians or Chinese were violating our airspace on a regular basis, surely we would do something about it when we're spending $700 billion a year on defense. And we think we're the most technologically advanced nation in the world. And yet the system was absolutely paralyzed. And that's largely what our show is about, was motivated by a desire to overcome that paralysis by giving the frontline military personnel themselves a chance to tell their stories.
Amazing. Steve.
The show focuses a lot, and you've talked a little bit about the military aspect and the interactions with the military, but this has been happening in civilian airspace. We had an incident here in Chicago back in 2006 where O'Hare shut down for a brief period of time because there was something in the airspace. How big of a threat is this to the civilian air traveler?
Thankfully, there have not been any actual collisions that we know of. There is a gentleman in the private sector, a former pilot, who maintains a database of reported near misses. And there's a surprisingly large number of these, but thankfully there's never been an actual collision resulting in fatalities. The Navy personnel have filed at least one safety flight report after one of these objects split a formation of Navy fighters passing between two jets within about 100 feet of their wingtips. In terms of the civilian side, there is a considerable amount of information out there that, as was the case in the O'Hare incident, is very, very credible. We've tended to emphasize the military in part because that's where our backgrounds are, but also because the military has a credibility that is unmatched. And they have technology that is unmatched to corroborate what the pilots are seeing. So we felt this is the putting the strongest foot forward, emphasizing what our men and women in uniform are encountering.
What's your theory? I mean, can you separate yourself from the science and the investigation to give a theory?
You know, I think I'm very reluctant to do that. I will say that I think there are probably multiple phenomena going on. We see enough distinct different kinds of vehicles and different patterns of behavior that there's probably more than one explanation lurking behind this complicated phenomenon.
The inability of Congress to do anything, does that make it more dangerous? Or is this not a legislative issue?
They're beginning to mobilize it. They need to, you know, frankly, invest more time. What's happening thus far is encouraging, but they have a role to play because the executive branch itself is full of these different stovepipe agencies that are not sharing information. We have pieces of the puzzle that reside in a variety of different agencies in the intelligence community, the Defense Department, in civilian agencies, and nobody is pulling these pieces together. Nobody's in charge across the board. It would be like trying to conduct an investigation of those bombings a couple of years ago in Texas without anybody who was able to pull data from different jurisdictions to help solve the case. And Congress is really the only organization that's likely to be able to put pressure on the bureaucracy, crack the whip on them a little bit, to force these different organizations to collaborate.
It's an amazing bit of information and time, and the History Channel thinks exceptional. This Friday is the season finale. But, Steve, I assume we can binge watch this?
Oh, absolutely. If you have DirecTV or any of the other services, it's on demand. And oftentimes they'll run an episode immediately after the old one. So it's all there for you to watch.
And thanks to Ashley for helping hook this
up. I'll give you a teaser on the next episode. My colleagues Tom and Lou visit with a NATO ally, and they share some of their experiences, and they're pretty incredible.
Chris Mellon, thank you for coming on. I hope we can bother you again, unless, again, you're on your own planet.
Okay. Listen, it's a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thanks.